Hello, I'm here with Dave Evans, the author of Social Media Marketing, An Hour a Day. And we're going to do this in two parts. We're going to talk about his book and social media marketing to begin with. So good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Connie.
And it's great to finally meet you. We've crossed paths online and exchanged a few tweets, probably.
Oh, yeah, more than a few.
Yeah, that's fabulous. So what motivated you to write a book?
There were actually a couple things. I was actually talking with Jim Nail, the chief marketing officer for Symphony. He had been a friend of mine from Forrester for a number of years, and we were talking about writing books and that kind of thing. And it sort of put in my head something that I had thought about doing for a while. You know, it's as a consultant and practitioner and strategist and so on, you kind of think about this stuff. But thinking about it and doing it are two different things. And then just serendipitously, I got a call from William Knibbe at Wiley Publishing, and he was looking for someone to write this book. And I thought, you know, I was just talking about this with a good friend a couple days ago, and now this person's calling me. I should just say yes. And so I agreed to write the book. And once I had done that, you know, you sort of get past the mental hurdle of, am I going to do this or not? I was very fortunate in being approached by a publisher like Wiley, because the very first thing that they did was they introduced me to a process around writing the book, which started with me creating a framework, an outline, you know, a content delivery schedule, and being very specific about what I was going to write about. Perhaps we can talk more about that for authors that are people that are thinking about this. But you know, I put together an outline, submitted it to them, they approved that, and then for the next almost probably 8 months, I spent a significant amount of time just writing against that outline, which, you know, again, that was the real lifesaver, because there were points in the process where I really wasn't, if I had just been on my own, this probably would not have turned out. But because I had the support of a publisher and an outline and some other things that that they introduced me to, you know, as a first-time author, mm-hmm. we don't always think about these things. I had a really nice framework and, you know, just worked along, methodically worked along, talked with people, had a great technical editor. Jake McKee, the community guy, was the technical editor. Hillary Powers was my developmental editor, which is someone who helps you say clearly what it is that you're trying to say. Mm-hmm. And between those two, we knocked it out in about 11 months, you know, including all the reviews and everything else.
Great. Yeah, I know Jake McKee really well with the community aspect, so. So I noticed that one of your bullets for your book is that pitching social media within the company. What do you think are the biggest challenges there?
Well, I think there are a couple of issues. You can break them apart into things like organizational dynamics, change management, you know, receptivity to being talked negatively about, and, you know, sort of acknowledging that this conversation is going on. There are a bunch of issues around that, and then there's the general whether it's a lack of familiarity or a lack of, you know, sort of formal tools to integrate social media into traditional, you know, and other forms of marketing and communications. Whatever it is, you usually end up having someone in the organization who's going to, you know, kind of champion the social media cause, or someone who's interested enough, or not risk averse, and, you know, sort of takes this project on, and then he or she runs into, okay, I've got to put together some kind of widespread encompassing strategy, because I've got all these other marketing channels that are working and doing their jobs, and, you know, these are things that I'm measured on, my company depends on, my customers communicate with us through these things, you know, and so on. And then at the same time, you have this second issue, you know, which I talked about up front. The organizational dynamics. Companies, you know, a lot of people sort of look at social media like, I don't want to do this because I know people are going to say bad things about me. Now, you know, that said, people are also going to say very good things about me, right? And I'm certainly anticipating that. But to the extent that they're going to say negative things about me, our culture doesn't permit us to talk about things that way. You know, as marketers and so on, we're always about the positive message rather than about the negative message. So there's some organizational issues when it comes to adopting social media that have to be fought on one front. And then at the same time, this person also has to come up to speed across a wide range of, you know, of new and evolving disciplines. When I wrote the book, a number of things that I put in there were either in private beta or in beta or, you know, had just come out. I mean, I literally waited until the last minute to put the actual tools in the book because the whole space is moving so fast. So these are the realities that people have to deal with. So you get to this challenge of this person trying to pitch this internally. And what I try to do in the book was, number one, provide some background for traditional marketers that are, you know, sort of wondering why they should be doing this or looking for how to get involved in this and that kind of stuff. And then also the tools with which someone can successfully pitch internally to a group of people that may be, you know, rightfully really concerned about, hey, if we put up a company blog and people start talking negatively about us, what are we going to do about that? I mean, you know, people should be thinking about that. So I try to provide the tools through which people can actually think about that. So on those two fronts, in the book, we talk about how to pitch internally an overall integrated program that includes social media elements and then make people smart about all the channels that are available and help them avoid some of the pitfalls when they go to present this to their colleagues around, you know, some of the, whether they're misperceptions or reality, some of the dangers of social media or some of the scary stuff. So they really get to the good stuff, the smart stuff, the strategic stuff that makes sense for them.
Wow. So yeah, because there are many challenges to overcome and hurdles internally before you can ever, you know, and I like the term architecture in terms of, you know, what is this going to do to the architecture internally? You also have another bullet here about building a map of key conversation generators. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes. One of the things that I set up in the book, and this came from work that I had done at GSD&M, which is the advertising agency that I spent a number of years at in Austin. It sort of occurred to us, and you know, and a lot of other people. You know, one of the big caveats to me and my style, my book, and so on is, you know, I do not claim to be first or unique, or you know, this stuff occurs to lots of people, right? And what I tried to do in the book was articulate some of what I had learned from other people, from Jim Nail, from Pete Blackshaw, from Susan Bratton, from, you know, just exposure to a wide variety of people that were, you know, great thinkers on this stuff, and sort of pull this together into a real practical impact on something that's of concern to almost every marketer, which of course is the purchase funnel. And if you sort of look at the purchase funnel and say we've got this awareness, consideration, purchase cycle going on, I think it's fair to say that a lot of marketers view that purchase funnel as if it exists in a vacuum. And the reality of the social web, and if you sort of step back from the social web and just say the reality of word of mouth marketing, is that purchase funnel actually sits in the context of conversations that go on around products and services, you know, and so on. And for thousands of years, people have been talking about whether a vendor was trustworthy or this thing worked or the product was effective or, you know, whatever. I mean, that's the fundamentals of word of mouth marketing. Mm-hmm. The thing that changes with social media and the social web is the degree to which people are connected. Just read a great commentary this morning on Twitter as, you know, sort of a connector more so than a fundamental mover shaker. I mean, if you think about the role of TV as an awareness channel, you know, just a hugely powerful channel. But then you look at the role of something like Twitter as a connector, and whether or not it's an awareness channel, you know, we can talk about. But what it for sure does is it connects people together and allows conversations to flow very freely from one person to the next. Whereas in traditional word of mouth marketing, you had to be near someone or, you know, be in a family or a community or have a physical presence or something like that in order to get the message to flow from one person to another. Now that's no longer true. So one of the things that I set up in the book is this whole notion of creating literally a map of where your conversations are coming from and understanding who influencers or who hubs of conversation are, what the sources of conversation, you know, and so on tend to be, and then taking that one step further and actually placing it into the context of the purchase funnel so that you can see where it is that conversations are impacting you positively, negatively. You can then take this information and go back to the operations group, which, you know, perhaps we can talk about in a subsequent question. We can go back to the operations group and say, hey, we've either got an issue that we're failing to capitalize on. You know, a bunch of our customers are using our product in a way that we hadn't thought about. And this makes a whole lot of sense. We should be marketing to this. And in order to do that, we need a couple of features. So can you in operations build these in or you know, change your process a little bit so that we have this, because we've got this market that we could go after. And then of course there's the other side where customers are complaining or, you know, expressing negative sentiment about something. And again, you have to go back to operations and say, okay, here's what they're talking about. We can't just cover this up with more advertising. What we need to do is fundamentally change this so that the conversation changes, so that its impact on the purchase funnel becomes an amplifier rather than a challenger. So, you know, we go through this whole mapping process of understanding where these conversations are coming from, what they're about. You know, we get into quantitative metrics and that kind of thing. But it's really all to create this sort of holistic view of the purchase funnel, of the classical marketing issues around awareness and the point of purchase, adding the social web and its contribution to the consideration phase, which sits in between awareness and purchase, and then putting this whole thing together and understanding how all of this stuff works. And from a marketer's perspective, you know, how she can take really powerful advantage of the social web to amplify things.
Yes, and I think that's one of the most important things with social media, is that it spans, you know, so many aspects. I heard you mentioning various aspects of the company, whether it's product development or customer service, marketing, public relations, Q&A. And that's what I love about the community work, is just having my fingers in all those spaces, essentially. So, and the mix with the marketing is fantastic. One other question in regard to how you see this intertwining and integrating with the traditional marketing. What is your recommendation on that?
Yeah, so, you know, and again, this is sort of a fundamental point. One of the things I hear a lot, and it's common with, you know, with sort of any new technology. We certainly saw it in the, you know, early and mid 90s with the web and other stuff about how, you know, this is just revolutionary. It's going to change everything, you know, and so on. I mean, the reality is, yes, there are some significant changes in the degree to which people are connected and the digital tools that are available. There are some fundamental shifts that are occurring. At the same time, there are a whole lot of things that marketers are doing that work, you know, today, tomorrow, the next day, next year, these things, you know, channels work, direct mail, radio, print, TV, all this kind of stuff. I mean, it works. And so what the real challenge becomes is how do we integrate these things? So we look at something like a message on TV, and one of the things that I get into is called touch point analysis. And you know, for traditional marketers and you know, quantitative marketers, this is stuff that's kind of old hat, you know. We get into things called touch point analysis, where we look at what are the messages that are being created? What is the reception to those messages? Do these things matter? Are they resonating? Are they being seen as, you know, as correct, as, well, this is hype, you know, and we try to sort all this stuff out. And what we're fundamentally doing when we do that is we're actually tapping the social web as a listening platform, right? Which is a whole aspect of, you know, I think social media that people sometimes either miss or just think right past. This notion of going out onto the social web and seeing what people are saying about the stuff that we're doing in other channels or the store experiences that we're creating. I talk about Home Depot a few times in the book, and the issue with Home Depot, of course, is driving floor traffic, you know, and so on, and things that the chief marketing officer is typically charged with. Well, if you think about what drives floor traffic in a place like Home Depot, yes, it's flyers and some awareness advertising, that kind of stuff, but it's also the cleanliness of the store, the organization of the store, whether or not the thing that you needed, whether or not all of the things that you needed for a particular project were in stock simultaneously, and big key piece, whether or not the associate is knowledgeable about the thing that you're trying to do. I mean, I actually have very specific associates at a couple of Home Depots here in Austin. Those are the people that I walk in the store, I go find them because I know that they know what I need to do the job that I'm about to go do. So you look at those things. Those are by and large operations issues, not marketing issues. So when we start putting social media into the, you know, into the holistic context and looking at the overall marketing mix, what we really start looking at is what are all of the messages that are being created? What are all of the experiences that we're creating? And then how do very specific social media pieces like Home Depot's use of YouTube, you know, for example, for materials on how to properly paint something or how to choose paint for a room or something like that. How do those things augment, supplement, continue to, you know, sort of add a little bit of weight to the things that we're doing in other places? And then, as I talked about earlier, the use of the social web as a listening or research platform to understand whether we're really getting this message across or not. So it's very much an integrated strategy. It's very much a blend of things, and these channels really do fit together.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of the social media and listening, is that you can actually see if your messages are connecting with the customers or not, and you know, and really that's probably the most ideal aspect of it. Even before you start with interacting. So
yeah, it's also a really safe place for a marketer to start, because it doesn't involve any outreach. It doesn't involve creating anything or doing anything that might be judged as, you know, hey, this is a little too advertising oriented for the social web. Or, you know, it avoids all of that. It's like when you walk into a party. You know, if you walk into a party with a bunch of people you've never met, and you just start talking, you know, we've all met those kind of people, and few of us like those people. You know, whereas if we walk into the party and we introduce ourselves and we kind of listen to the conversation a little bit and we sort of get what's going on, and then we begin to add our point of view or we begin to interact with people at that point, it's much better. And so to start with a listening strategy just makes a whole lot of sense on a bunch of fronts.
And it's probably, yeah, definitely for the comfort level and the fear. Mm-hmm. We haven't used that word yet, was the fear, but early on I thought of that in terms of selling social media to other people within the organization. Well, I think that we've covered a fair amount. Any other points that you'd like to add about your book?
The one sort of central aspect of the book, and again this goes back to Wiley, much more to their credit than to mine. The book actually contains 55 one-hour exercises. So you know, it sounds like kind of a program. It is. The idea of it is this: you can work through the book in the opening sections. We talk about where the motivation from the consumer's perspective for social media is coming from. Then I move into a section that provides sort of the base mechanics of how to integrate this with all the other things, including HR and operations, you know, and so on. How to really view social media. Then we get into the main core of the book, which is a pretty good overview of all of the channels, you know, and so on that you have available. I pick up on Robert Scoble's Starfish concept, you know, and this whole idea that all of these social channels surround a conversion, which of course is of fundamental interest to marketers. And then we finish off with a section on metrics and a section on actually developing a presentation, which of course pulls together all the things that you've done through the book. Well, those exercises turn out to be, you know, key to the whole thing. So there's a number of great texts. Paul Gillen's book, Charlene and Josh have Groundswell. I mean, there are some really nice texts on social media. I encourage people to read those. One of the things that my book, Social Media Marketing in Hour a Day, does is it takes all that information and sort of organizes it into these 55 one-hour exercises, where literally each day, Monday through Friday, you go out and you look at something or you do something or you set up something or you complete a profile and by the end of this point, whether each of those channels applies to you in business or not is kind of secondary. What you have is this broad exposure to here's how this whole thing works, And even more importantly, here's how this entire box fits into my current marketing program, right? So you really sort of get this. Then when you get to the very last chapter, you actually go back through all the stuff that you've done and you pick the things that really make sense, that fit with your corporate culture, that fit with your business objectives, that fit with the things that your customers are currently doing. You know, not all customers are the same. Not all customers participate in social media the same way. Not all customers of all companies even participate in social media. Right? So we sort of go through that. And you wind up with this, you know, very methodical approach so that you can put together a plan that when you sit down and present it with your colleagues, you know, you're getting more nods than head shakes. Is really, really kind of the key to this. But, you know, again, at the end of it, by the time you've gone through this, you really do have a nice view of the social web, of all of the things that are available, of the importance of disclosure, of transparency, of profile completeness, of, you know, all of these kinds of things that, you know, that I see people who do 8 out of 10 things right. It's like, there's a couple things that are, okay, if they had done this, this would have worked better. Well, those are things that that I try to cover in the book and put people through this very, like, organized. Each day we do a little bit, and it builds. And by the time you get to the end and you're actually writing up the presentation and getting ready to put things together, you're in a very, very solid position as a marketer. You know, you use the fear word, right? We try to give people the tools and the confidence so that they're not either saying the wrong thing or themselves hesitant about what they're doing. But you actually have a very solid plan under your feet.
And yes, and I think too with social media, and I've heard this, is essentially there's so many things to do and it can be overwhelming, maybe in your mapping exercise, but it's a matter of deciding where to start in little pieces and then build on those successes rather than overwhelming is just saying I need to be everywhere.
Exactly. I mean, if you open up with that, one of the great points that that Jake brought to the book, we were talking about Twitter and the 140 characters, and you know, it seems like, okay, so 140 characters, how far wrong could I go with that? Well, you know, it's like if you just launch into Twitter and start talking about your own stuff, you'll find out very quickly how wrong you can go with something as small as 140 text characters. You know, on the other hand, if you start by listening and taking small steps and looking at things and sort of sorting out your business objectives and your customer's behavior and things like that, chances are you'll have a very, very nice experience, both learning from and then participating in the social web.
Yeah. Now, did I see on your blog that you have some templates available or what are those?
Yes. There's the supporting site for the book is Read This, readthis, readthis.com.
Okay.
And there's worksheets. The worksheets are all in the book, but, you know, as with anything else, the book is in print and the worksheets are reduced a little bit, and they're throughout the book, and then they're all organized in the back of the book. But if people want to print them out, have PDF copies of things like that, and then put them in a binder or, you know, just use them digitally, you know, et cetera, they can download all the PDF copies and that kind of stuff and go from there. So it's a nice convenience. Plus, at the site, there's updates. You know, there's a couple of typos in the book. It's, you know, it's like anything else. I'm a first-time author, so. So I get comments from people, hey, there's a typo on this, or, you know, here's a new way of using this product, and we try to do that. The other thing that we have going at readthis.com for people that are interested in, you know, kind of seeing how social media works, we're using the Seismic platform for its video blogging capabilities, where I've kicked off each chapter with a discussion about the high points of the chapter, and then other people then jump in and say, this is what I learned, or this is what I thought was interesting, or, you know, whatever. In the chapter, so just like you would approach a blog through text, Seismic gives you the ability to approach you know, the whole discussion aspect from a video perspective. So for people with cameras built into their laptops and so on, it's very easy to just open up, see what somebody says, hit record, and here are my comments on that, and then and post it up there. So all that stuff is available at readthis.com.
Okay, well, that's fabulous. Your blog is where?
Readthis.com.
Okay.
And that's also where I post things. So.
And you're doing your personal blogging there too?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
That keeps it.
And then,
Yep. So we are going to do a second part to this, and we decided to split it into two parts. So hopefully you'll join us for the second part. We're going to talk more about measurement and social media monitoring and some of those things that are becoming hot issues now. So thank you, Dave, and I hope that people will look into your book. It's definitely something that organizations need to start at least listening and finding out what their customers and prospective customers are doing. So thanks for joining us.
Connie, thank you.